Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WZGC Atlanta and WZGC HD1.
A radio.com sports station.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
Morning show. John Chuckery in for John Fricke, Hugh Douglas. Do want to remind you, head over to at 929 The Game on our Twitter. Got a poll question up for you this morning asking about the Falcons after Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn spoke with the media yesterday at the NFL Combine. How you feeling? You feel better about things? Even more confused? Not happy with them right now. We'll get an update a little bit later on in the show on that. Hey, also asking you too, if you want to join us, it's 404-741-0929 on the phone line, and that is our soon-to-be coming back bigger, better, badder than ever, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line.
Woo-hoo.
As we said, all of our social media, at 929 The Game, and Instagram, and Facebook, and Twitter, and Tinder, Grindr, Bumble, all that good stuff is out there for you. MySpace, Match, Zeus, everything that you need and want. No, actually, you'd be surprised. There's people that tell me about all these things, and I'm just like, I just like shake my head at. He is at Big Hugh 53. I am at JMCH 316. So if you want to interact, as many of you have this morning on the Twitters.
Yeah, and I just found out it wasn't called Wonder Years. I had two shows mixed up. It was called Boy Meets World. And the new one is called Girl Meets World, I guess.
Oh, you know what? That's a Disney show, too.
Yeah.
That's all the Disney stuff.
I did not know. Yeah. Like, and I'm surprised. Like, I'm looking at some of these people that are responding that follow me on Twitter that I've, you know, interacted with a long time. I'm kind of surprised at some of these cats that have watched this show and corrected me on this. A lot of dudes chimed in on this, so they grew up watching this.
Well,
a lot of dudes.
The two things, they're schooling you on that, and also
they
showing
were in
you
love
who Sonny.
Topanga. Yeah,
yeah, but they're also showing you who Sonny was.
Yeah,
in
they
the
were,
WWF.
But they were in love with Topanga. I see some of these guys like, hey, yeah, they were in love with Topanga. Antoine, I see you. Bat Pimp, yeah, I'm calling y'all out. I didn't know y'all got. I'm surprised that y'all, man, that y'all knew this. King Philip. No, that wasn't King Philip. That was somebody else called me out. But I'm calling y'all anyway because he watched the lead and he felt the same way that I did.
We'll talk to Jason Longshore coming up here, of course, Herediano in Atlanta.
On this rainy day.
Yeah, it was 60 this morning, and now it's raining. I didn't know it was going to rain this quickly out there, so that should be a fun walk, the walk of shame back to my car. So anyway.
I'll take you to your car, dog.
That's all right. I gotta hurry up because I got to get to work and all
that. Oh, yeah,
that,
so. You know, and I do like to – I move slow. So my bad. Yeah, you probably yeah. do need.
Like by the time you finally get downstairs, I'll be on.
You probably be. You'll probably be.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be halfway. I'll be in. You know, I'll be in
yeah,
Kennesaw
probably,
at that
probably,
point.
You're probably right.
That's right. No, I appreciate. But at least you know, appreciate the love for making an offer like that. So, we'll talk to Jason Longshore here in just a minute as Atlanta United gets ready. Now, of course, the game will be tonight, 8:00. It will be on 92.9 The Game. So obviously, you can listen right here, and it will be streaming on Yahoo.com. So. I have no idea how people sync up their different things or whatever like that, radio with their TV or broadcast. I have no idea how you sync all that stuff up, but watch the broadcast on Yahoo. Listen to Jason and Mike with the call. That's actually how I listened to the game last week, was listen to it with Mike and those guys because it was on Univision was the actual match. Did you watch the Spanish broadcast at all, Hugh? Or did
not
you
at all.
Yeah, I wasn't too interested in hearing what they had to say. So let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. It's my guy, Jason Longshore, color analyst for all things Atlanta United. Jason, of course, on Twitter, at Longshoe. Good morning, Jason. What's up, my man? So let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. It's my guy, Jason Longshore, color analyst for all things Atlanta United. Jason, of course, on Twitter, at Longshoe. Good morning, Jason. What's up, my man?
Good morning, y'all. How you doing?
Well, excellent. Well, you know, Jason, let's talk a little bit about tonight because – it's not just about winning tonight. It's about if you are going to advance, you've got to make up that goal differential. How important is maybe, let's say, the first 15 minutes or so of this match going to be, where Atlanta United, do you think, has to maybe try to push the issue a little bit early on?
I don't think you have to look at it in the first 15, but you do need to look at it in the first 30 to 45. That goal on the road last week from Julian Gressel was gigantic in making things a little more comfortable tonight. You don't want to get stretched too much too early and give up a goal to Herediano, because if they get one, then you need three at a minimum. If you keep them to a clean sheet and you get two goals, one in each half, which is very realistic for this team to pull off, you're advancing. You're going through and you're going to face Monterrey, the top team in Mexico right now. I think that's doable. I think you need a goal in the first half. You need to put some pressure on Herediano early. You need to shake their confidence a bit, but you don't want to get too stretched early on.
How much do you think factored in? Because I don't think anybody's really talking about this. The fact that Herediano was like on, what, their third match when they matched up with Atlanta United or something like that. How much did you think that played into it more so than the fact that Atlanta United may have been a little bit, rusty?
Oh, you're dead on, Hugh. I mean, you look at this where Herediano actually was in their 10th match of the season.
Oh, my bad.
In. So, but you nailed it, because it's not even – I don't know how much rust would factor in, but it's playing at a regular season speed. And something like this in CONCACAF Champions League, I mean, this is like a playoff situation. So imagine if you're going into the NFL season or any season – and you have to be at playoff intensity in game one. That's tough. It's tough to find that. And I think where it manifested for Atlanta was they struggled to play at a high speed of play, not running speed so much or physical stuff, but just being able to play fast. They struggled with that. Their rhythm was very off. Herediano, even though they've struggled a bit in Costa Rica this season in the league, they have that rhythm because they've been playing competitive matches.
Jason Longshore, color analyst for Atlanta United here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, joining John Chuckery in for John Fricke, Hugh Douglas on the morning show. Match tonight, 8 o'clock kickoff. Are you guys 7 or 7:30 tonight? Looks like 7 o'clock. Is that 7 o'clock tonight, Jason?
7 o'clock. Bonus pregame coverage.
There you go. Wow, an extra half hour of pregame. Do we know, is Herediano, are they traveling basically with the same squad that we saw last Thursday? Is everybody that was there last week coming up with them this week?
Yeah, we would expect that. They played on Sunday in the league in Costa Rica, and they took a 2-0 lead and ended up losing it late and lost 3-2. Four guys who started on Thursday started in that match, and a couple more came on as substitutes. I was a little surprised about a couple of the guys who played on Sunday, and I wonder what they're going to have in the tank tonight. Jimmy Marin, the left winger who gave Julian Gressel some problems defensively, he started, and he was back from injury in the match last week. So he's played about 150 minutes in just a couple of days now after not playing more than 30 minutes in the season. And Randall Azofefa, 34-year-old central midfielder who was the man of the match for me last week, he played another 90 minutes on Sunday. How much is he going to have in the tank on tonight? I think he's going to be critical to controlling things for them.
How much do you think tonight, with the weather being what it is, looks like it's going to be pretty nasty out there? That pitch is going to be a little wet. You think that factors in huge to this match tonight?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does a couple different ways. The passing is going to be a little different. We'll have to see how the drainage is at Fifth Third Bank. But it's also going to be a little heavy. It's going to be a little thick. And when you're talking about a team who has played a lot of matches and has played a lot of matches in a short period of time, the Costa Rican league season has played a lot of Wednesday matches this season. And Herediano's manager, Hernan Medford, talked about that. He said it's really killing his players. Now you're going to have to take players with heavy legs, bring them here after a flight yesterday from Costa Rica to Atlanta. They trained last night in a very light training, but you're going to put them on a heavy field. That's going to have an impact.
Jason Longshore, color analyst for Atlanta United, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline as we get ready tonight. CS Herediano versus Atlanta United, the rematch from last Thursday. Atlanta United, of course, to advance in the CONCACAF Cup, is going to have to win by at least two goals. So with that being said, Jason, what do you want to see early out of this team tonight?
You know, it's going to sound kind of counterintuitive, but a little more patience. the way that this team wants to play in the 3-4-3 shape that they started in, and it's very fluid. I think, you know, everybody gets caught up in the starting formation a lot, but it's more about the way different parts of the team function. And one of the things that happened last week too much was your attackers were disconnected from the rest of the team. They were kind of on an island and had to fend for themselves. So you saw PT Martinez, Ezekiel Barco have to try to do things themselves off the dribble against two defenders, sometimes three. That's not a recipe for success. You want to build the play a little slower, but get everybody forward. This team is one that wants to play with all 10 field players in the opposition's half. That's going to control possession. That's going to create more chances. It's going to create some mismatches on the field. Last week, it was a little too fast getting forward. The rest of the team wasn't connected. You saw Julian Gressel and George Bello really not there to help the attack because the play moved forward too fast.
Jason, let me follow up with that. Is that as much that Arediano pushed the issue and pushed the envelope, which maybe Atlanta United isn't used to seeing teams want to do that against them, or did Atlanta United kind of allow them to get into that comfort zone?
That's a good question. It's two things, I think. I think that the ninth-minute goal off of an individual mistake from Gonzalez Pires, that changed things. That definitely made Atlanta, I think, a little more frantic, but that played into Arediano's style as well. They like to kind of play fast and create some chaos. They're not really a possession team. They're just going to get the ball vertical as fast as they can and put you under some pressure. Atlanta tried to do that as well and tried to kind of play that style. That's not how this team is built in 2019.
You think tonight it works out in Atlanta United's favor? You think they were going to move on in this CONCACAF?
I do. I think this is where your stars have to come up big. This is why you re-sign a player like Joseph Martinez and give him a lot of security in knowing he is the face of this team. That's why you go get a guy like PT Martinez who went through this in the Copa Libertadores with River Plate last year and led them to a championship in South America. This is where your veterans like a Michael Parker to Jeff Lorenowitz have to step up and kind of drive this. I think they have the team to do it. And I think this is one of those times where you kind of define what your year is going to be and you define what you're going to be as a club. And Atlanta United has said from day one that they want to be a club that wins trophies. This is as big of a trophy as you're going to find in 2019. And they have to get it done tonight. I think they can win 2-0. I think they can keep Arediano off the board and get a couple goals and move through.
Check him out tonight, 8 o'clock kickoff, 7 o'clock pregame. He is on the broadcast here on 92.9 The Game with Mike Conte. It is Jason Longshore. Join us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Check him out, too, by the way. Stay on Twitter with him, at Longshoe. Jason, have fun tonight, buddy. Stay dry, and I'll be talking to you this weekend. You got it. There you go. And we're going to talk a little bit later in the show, Hugh, about the disappointment level for this. I'll tell you this. My thing is, if you're going to lose this tournament, get knocked out early. Because one of the things that hurt Toronto last year was
the fact
focusing
that they dragged
it out. Yeah, focusing on the CONCACAF so much that their MLS season really didn't manifest. And they were coming off of what was considered the greatest MLS season ever. They were considered the best team ever in the history of MLS. And so much emphasis on the CONCACAF that that's fine if you win it. But what happened was is that you don't always have your guys ready for that MLS action. And we're talking about Atlanta United. Their MLS season starts with DC United on Saturday. On Sunday. So things turn around very quickly. Now all of a sudden you're in MLS. And while I understand you want to win the CONCACAF, if it doesn't work out, get it out of the way now. I mean, don't drag this out to where now both of those things may become a less of a reality.
I hear what you're saying, but I think that with Frank DeBoer, what they're trying to do, and if that is the case, I'm pretty sure that they're going to, you know, pick the pieces up and move on. But I think the biggest thing is that you have to do a great job of knowing when to rest guys and substitutions in a situation like this. And I think that's why they made, like you said, PT Martinez and guys like that, you brought them in so that you can have that depth. So that you can do the best, you can have the best of both worlds in a sense.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting, Hugh, because we know that there's an adjustment, definite changes on this roster. And I think, you know, without a Miguel Almiron in the middle to run your kind of quarterback that you could rely on both offense and defense, we'll see how Barco and P. Martinez, Barco got his brains beat in the last match.
And then the chemistry thing, You know, that's another thing that you got to think about. And you're talking about Arrieta
here too.
Yeah,
I mean,
mentally.
You know, can't take the mental mistakes because if you don't want a team like this, Hugh, to find a goal early, because now if they get a goal, or especially if Arrieta gets a goal and it's early, now United really has to press, because now you have to make up three goals.
What I say, because of the aggregate. I was seeing how that works. So yeah, you need three.
They really need basically 2-0 tonight is what you want. They want they a 2-0, and I think they can go to extra time at that point. But that's what you need. I mean, because if you get 2-0, that'll move them on, because Atlanta United has the road goal at that point. So that's the tiebreaker, is your road goal. So win 2-0 tonight. And then you move on to the next round and get ready for
aggregate thing. But I understand it better.
It's like NASCAR. NASCAR has screwed itself up because it tries to come up with up with these weird convoluted systems. Just have 2 or 3 matches, put them on the field, winner take all. Right? I mean,
I would agree.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
It works for
all.
Baseball. Works for anything else.
Definitely
basketball.
Agree with
anything
that.
Else. All right, we're going to turn right back around, and we'll talk some more NFL and Combine. Bucky Brooks is going to join us from NFL Network, as that whole crew is up at the Combine. Hugh Douglas, John Chuckerman for John Fricke. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the morning show. John Chuckery in for John Fricke today and tomorrow. Man, I got that bass from still yelling on Monday night, man. Jeez, every time I hear my voice.
Sounds like you had fun.
Oh, yeah, we did. We had a great time. Thanks to you know, Mike for getting everybody tickets. We had a whole group and gaggle of us down there at the State Farm Arena on a Monday night. So definitely looking forward. For all the stuff about Mercedes-Benz, mm-hmm. and we're getting with Bucky Brooks here. We'll talk to him just a little bit. But for all the stuff about Mercedes-Benz, they need to put a WrestleMania in Mercedes-Benz.
But would they fill the seats, though?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. They put 100,000 in Jerry's World for WrestleMania.
Man.
They fill up the Superdome for WrestleMania. They filled up the Georgia Dome in WrestleMania.
You know
here.
What? The hard thing about that would be is there's so many different places to go hang out at the Mercedes-Benz that you would probably miss out on a great wrestling match because you're doing everything
but that's
else.
That's all right. Get him in the building.
Man, I
open
tell
up
you.
The roof. Open up the roof and put him in the building for WrestleMania.
I tell you, I never thought I would say this because it's so late in the year and so much stuff has to happen. But I can't wait till the Celebration Bowl comes back. And I hope that North Carolina A&T is one of the teams that comes back. They travel well. Their fan base, they have a lot of fans down here. They travel well.
Now,
and it was a beautiful look.
What
was
it
look.
You were telling me that they are actually going to have –
They were talking about having a classic, you know, like all the HBCUs, they have classics, and they're talking about having one in Canton.
Is that a beginning of the year or end of the year type
See,
of deal?
You know what? When they were talking about it, I think one of the teams was Alabama A&M, and I can't remember the other one, but I think it's going to be right around homecoming time or before homecoming. I think like in like August. They'll probably start in August. Late August, early September, things of that nature. So they're talking about it. So I remember one of the teams was Alabama A&M. Can't remember who the other team was, though. But I remember hearing Alabama A&M.
Well, speaking of the NFL, NFL Network's going to have live coverage of the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine. It starts up tomorrow and goes through March 4th. We got to the waitfor.com hotline from NFL Network, Bucky Brooks.
Bucky.
Joining us at Bucky Brooks on Twitter. Morning to you, Bucky.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Pretty good, pretty good.
You know, Hugh and I were having a discussion earlier, Bucky, about the importance of the Combine. And the reason that I ask is with all the different things now between everybody can be seen on TV and all the film, and obviously the Senior Bowl where NFL teams get to work with you for a whole week. You know, we're talking about right now at the Combine, the number one story is what height is Kyler Murray going to measure in at? Where do you see the importance of the Combine amongst all of the different platforms that NFL teams can evaluate players nowadays?
It's still a significant piece of the platform because it's the first time that coaches and scouts really get a chance to get around the players. When you're scouting in the fall, you go to the school, but you don't really get a chance to meet them. You don't get a chance to measure them and really assess who they are and what potentially they could bring into the locker room. And so it's not necessarily about the evaluation on what they do on the field. It's really getting to know them, get all the background and medical information in order, and then just trying to determine what kind of character they have and how that fits into the culture of your locker room.
So Bucky, I know going to the Combine, do you think there's more emphasis on the fact the workouts and all of those measurements, or more so on just trying to get in the head of the player? Which do you think is the most important thing for most teams?
You know, it really depends on the player, but a lot of times it's really just trying to get in the head of the player, because I want you to think about it this way. The only time you really get a chance to visit with players, you get 15 minutes at the combine during an interview session. You get whatever time you're able to spend around them at the pro day. And then if you bring them into the team for one of your 60 visits, that's not a lot of time to make some of these multi-million-dollar decisions that you have to make. So what you're trying to do is quickly you're trying to assess, who is this guy? What is he about? How passionate is he about football? What other things does he have going on in his life that could potentially be distractions? And is he the kind of guy that we want to bring into the locker room? Yes, you have some guys who have medical situations and some other character issues that you want to vet out. But really, it's just that simple. It's really trying to get an introduction of who the player is, and does your team and coaching staff kind of like what he brings to the table outside of his play.
Bucky Brooks from NFL Network joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Of course, NFL Network's going to have all your coverage of the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine March 1st, which is tomorrow through March 4th. Give me a couple of names, Bucky, of guys that are on your radar that maybe you don't feel like you know as much about or haven't seen as much of that you're intrigued to see these next few days.
Well, I mean, just coming out your way down in Atlanta, I think Riley Ridley, wide receiver from Georgia, is one that is intriguing. People are all over the map on him in terms of where he can go. Some people view him as a guy that is like one of the safest bets at wide receiver, but you just don't know how fast he is. So what he does here will really go a long way to determine whether he joins his brother Calvin as a first-round pick. I think when you go and really look at the quarterback class, I think it is a big discussion on who ranks as the number one guy. Is it Dwayne Haskins? Is it Kyler Murray? You talk about Kyler Murray's height. Can you get past that, and can he play in the league, and are you willing to adapt your offense to make sure he can be successful? Do you want Dwayne Haskins, who has all of the prototypical stuff that we've always wanted from franchise quarterbacks for years, but he's only played as a starter for one season? So where does that kind of fit in the quarterback evaluation? Then you have guys like Drew Locke and Daniel Jones and others who are also vying to be first-round picks at the position. But at the end of the day, this draft will be known for the meat and potatoes, meaning the defensive line is loaded. There are a ton of guys that can come and be difference makers at the point of attack, whether it's Quinnen Williams, Nick Bosa, Montez Sweat from Mississippi State, Jalen Ferguson, who is coming out of Louisiana Tech. There are a ton of guys that can play on the front line and impact the game. It's really exciting for teams that are looking to kind of reset the foundation of their franchises by really building a strong defense.
Bucky, expand a little bit on what you said with the quarterbacks. When you talk about who shakes out at number one, what are teams going to be looking for? I mean, they're going to get a chance to throw at pro days on their own campus and all that kind of stuff. Is it more of just, I don't want to say a disruptive setting, but maybe a setting where they don't have all their comfort zone that they're trying to figure out about these guys?
It's a little bit about like them being in an uncomfortable environment and how they choose to compete, how they perform in that. But quarterbacks, more so than anything, the interviews matter, because what you want to do is you want to assess where they are in terms of their football acumen. What do they know? What have they been asked to process? How quickly can they pick up on some of the complex concepts that some teams like to use? Do you have to meet them halfway and take their system and mix it with your system so they can be successful? For the quarterbacks, it is really the mental game. How do you command the room? Do you have leadership ability? Can they view you as the face of the franchise? Can they view you as a guy that is leading the team out of the tunnel because your leadership skills are so exemplary? There's a lot of stuff that you're trying to assess with the quarterbacks, and a little of it has to do with their physical ability. It more has to do with determining what the intangible qualities are.
You know, speaking of that, you're talking about a guy like Kyler Murray, and I know that we're still trying to evaluate him. I mean, it hasn't done a whole lot. Combine just started. But when you look at him and his stature and his skill set as a quarterback, what type of offense do you think that he needs to be in to be successful at the next level?
I think Kyler can play in any system, to be honest. Like, I think a lot of it is overblown. I think if you go back and check the numbers, he had maybe the fewest batted passes of anyone in college football last year as a starting quarterback. He only had five passes that were bad at line of scrimmage. Based on the way he throws the ball, the arm angles, he gets the ball out and he can find passing lanes. And we've seen, right there, Drew Brees in New Orleans, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield. Those guys having success has helped teams kind of become comfortable with having a guy that is a non-prototypical quarterback
in the position. I think the big thing that Kyler can do is he can kind of change the narrative about him. Everyone is focusing on the height. Everyone is focusing on, like, oh, does he really love football because he had the baseball deal that he walked away from? I think if he dazzles on the turf, meaning if he shows out as an athlete, because there have been, like, reports that he may run in the 4-3 range. Mm-hmm. If he runs in the 4-3 range and then he puts that A-plus arm talent, all that conversation about his height will go out the window, and people would then begin to tap into the imagination of what could we do with a special athlete like this at the quarterback spot.
Bucky Brooks joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline, NFL Network analyst. Of course, NFL Network's going to have all your live coverage of the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine. Starts up tomorrow, takes you through the 4th. You talked about the deep defensive draft, and obviously that's a need right here for this franchise here. What do you think these teams are looking for nowadays? We hear about the difference in the college game versus the pro game, especially at line of scrimmage play. What do you think, especially let's take our local team here, how they're looking to evaluate some of these guys?
I mean, the game is so different. You know, like the college game is so different, and they kind of speed it up with all the no huddle, quick tempo stuff. It makes it really hard. It's hard to evaluate offensive linemen because they rarely fire out and play what we call big boy football, where they're asked to move people off the ball. It's hard to evaluate running backs because the lanes are so big and you're doing it. And then in quarterbacks, it's really difficult because you really don't know how complex these systems are. And so when you think about the teams and what you're trying to assess, the challenge is trying to take what you see on tape, have a conversation with the player, and then kind of spit it out and figure out what is he going to be at the next level. That's the challenge that all of these teams are facing as they kind of go through the combine and try to pinpoint which players are guys that they deem to be high prospects on their boards.
When you look at this draft, this combine coming up, Buck, I know every year there is one guy that everybody kind of slept on at the combine. You know, one guy that everybody kind of slept on leading up to the combine, and then at the combine he kind of breaks out. If you could guesstimate that right now, I don't know how much you've been paying attention to it or if there's a favorite you have in this combine. Who would be your dark horse in this combine to be the guy to say, hey, man, don't sleep on this cat. This cat might be a special player.
I think the guy that's going to be the toughest one for everyone is going to be the corner from LSU, Greedy Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Greedy Williams has been talked about as like a top corner. But then when you talk to NFL teams, they're really undecided on how good he really is. There's questions about his tackling, his toughness, his overall physicality, those things. However, I've been told by multiple people down at LSU that he is going to light it up when it comes to running and testing, and that is going to cloud the evaluation because people may view him as a shutdown corner, but there's several teams that tell me he doesn't have that kind of ability, and that's where the dilemma comes from. Do you value the player that you saw on tape versus the athlete that you see on the field? He's going to challenge how scouts evaluate the position and what they value more.
So, Bucky, what do you remember about this whole process about the combine and getting ready for the draft? What is your most fond memory of going through this whole process?
I think my fondest memory is when I went through it personally back in 94. Like back then, it was an unknown deal. You're kind of going to this mysterious place. You didn't know what you were going to be doing. You didn't know the test they were going to ask you to run. So you kind of walk in blind and ill-prepared. But I think when you're a kid, and I think most kids that play football dream of having the opportunity to play at the next level, at the highest level. And then you walk in and you see the Jimmy Johnsons and the Al Davises. You see the coaches that you used to look at on TV, and now you have an opportunity to kind of state your case. I think for everyone that is here, everyone that has an opportunity to get one step closer to the dream, I think it kind of harkens back to the time that they're 7 and 8 years old running back into the park, and now they're that much closer to being the guy that they claim to be when they're on the playground. I think that is exciting, and that's the fun part to watch when I see these guys kind of laying on the line this weekend.
Follow him on Twitter, at Bucky Brooks. He's going to be part of the NFL Network coverage. It's going to be happening March 1st through the 4th on NFL Network in 2019 NFL Scouting Combine. Bucky, appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks for joining us. Have fun up there.
Don't work too hard, man.
I'm not going to work too hard. Appreciate it, man.
No problem.
There you go. So Bucky Brooks right there is NFL Network's got all of your coverage. Well, we got no decision yet on Bryce Harper, but he did meet with the Giants the other day because he's meeting, it seems like, with every team.
Yeah, he's trying to get paid, man. He's trying to get max. He's trying to maximize his dollars.
You know, they say I'm the biggest heel in Atlanta Sports Talk Radio. Is Bryce Harper the biggest heel in baseball right now?
I think he's a controversial
figure.
Well,
that was a tease.
Yeah.
That we're going to discuss. Well,
did I mess it up? Did yes. I mess it up?
Did you I? Did. You did. We'll talk about all that next. Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm Stephanie Stallworth, ATL Traffic Lady from the Game Time Traffic.
Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia studios, it's the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hugh Douglas in the house, John Fricke out next couple of days. I am in, John Chuckery, the biggest heel in Atlanta radio, hanging out with you. Chuckery Palooza, you get me for the next 4 days on the radio station. Whether you want to or not, Hugh, we'll be on.
I'm happy. We're going to make this work. I don't think you're a heel, John Chuckery. I really don't. I think you're a great guy.
That's because you're my spiritual advisor, and I pay you well to I pay you well to say nice things about me. So, well, speaking of heels, Bryce Harper has still not decided about what kind of deal he is going to take. And you think part of this is getting to the point where he really doesn't even want to do some spring training stuff? Remember how guys, you know, like Tony Gonzalez didn't want to go through training camp and all that kind of stuff?
I think it's probably a little bit of that, but I think his agent is trying to get as much money as for him as he possibly can. Which is what a good agent does.
Right.
A good agent is going to go out. He's going to be – you talk about being a heel. I don't want an agent that's friendly with everybody. I mean, right. I want him to be friend. I want right. him to be cordial.
Nope. He's got to have a good relationship, yes. but not a friendly relationship.
I don't need one where, you know, it feels like, you know, they're it's a wink and a nod. And, oh, I got – my boy got you. I don't want an agent like that.
Yep.
And, you know, everybody's talking about how Scott Boras and listening to pundits talk about it and baseball analysts. Oh, well, Scott Boras is trying to make him the highest paid player and he's the – why not? Why not?
Yeah.
You have a skill set that people are paying you good money for. Mm-hmm. Whether it's right or wrong, that's not what I'm trying to argue. What I'm arguing is this. There's a market out there for what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Get as much money as you possibly can mm-hmm. because when that skill set is gone, it's a wrap. So right. get as much money and memories. Money and memories. Take as much as you possibly can of both.
100% agree. You when people say what a guy is worth, he's worth what somebody pays him.
Yes.
I mean, I don't care if that's $55 million a year, $30 million a year, $5 a year. You're worth what you pay you. I mean, that's true in your personal life. That's true for athletes. The difference is the amount of zeros that those guys put at the end of yeah. all of it.
And what it means to some people. I hear people say all the time, well, he doesn't need that much money. Who you know who say huh? stuff like that?
Broke people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's
broke,
the truth.
That's what broke people
broke
say.
People say that.
Oh, I don't need money.
You don't need that much money.
Okay, whatever.
Man, come on.
Yeah. Stop.
If that was the way the world really worked, yeah. then we wouldn't be in the positions we're in.
Listen, trust me. I need money to be happy. Trust me. I promise you.
Yeah.
I promise you.
To make things a lot easier in life.
I will tell you, besides the fact that a couple of reasons why I wanted Bryce Harper in Atlanta. Multiple reasons. He fills a need because you needed a corner outfielder.
Yeah.
He's a very good player, and you have a young franchise that would add another young guy. He's only 26 years old.
Yeah,
in it.
But I would like – oh, let me raise my hand
okay.
like you do.
Hugh Douglas, let me call on Hugh Douglas.
I would say the issue with that would be I think that – I don't have anything to back this up with, but I think that Bryce Harper is a little bit of a feels like he's a little bit of a me guy.
I'm sure.
And
Freddie Freeman loved him.
I mean, but
Freddie campaigned to bring him in.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Your when best you bring player campaigned to bring him in.
But what does that mean when you bring him in to your team and he tends to want to take over? Sometimes, you know, he might.
Might.
You know, this kind of reminds me of, and this might be a bad analogy, but then it might fit. When Kyrie campaigned for LeBron to come back to Cleveland, remember when all that? He was cool with it
mm-hmm.
till he actually got there. And mm-hmm. then it was a problem. It was a problem because then, you know, LeBron started to do what LeBron does, and that's be the leader of that squad.
Is Kyrie a champion?
Now he is, yes.
Okay.
And now Kyrie, while you're playing, Kyrie's starting to see what it is Man, now he's starting to
life
feel.
Life looks a lot different without that guy, huh?
Yeah, well, man. Not only that, life looks a little bit different when you're so-called the leader of the team.
Now, I will tell you that one of the other reasons, though, that I would have liked to have had Bryce Harper here, Hugh, is because of that edge. I like the idea of being the team that others want to boo, being the bad guy. Like for me, this would have been a perfect opening day, okay? We got Bryce Harper, okay? We play the Philadelphia Phillies, okay? Mm-hmm.
Everything they did with JT Realmuto and all those cats.
They give Bryce Harper the lineup card, and Snit tells him to go out there and give it to him. Bryce Harper goes out to give him the lineup card. He's got the eye black, like, all the way down to his knees, and he goes and hands the lineup card to the ump, and Gabe Kapler goes to shake his hand, and when he shakes his hand, kick to the stomach, tuck that chin right there and stunner right there at home plate. I want to be the guy that teams want to come after. I want to be... You know why people don't like the Dodgers? Because they spend a lot of money and they win. I want to be one of those teams. You know why they don't like the Red Sox? Because they spend a lot of money, they have a lot of good players, and they win. I want to be one of those kinds of teams. But I can't root for Bryce Harper. When he's your guy, though, I want to be on that edge.
It all depends on what team he's with when you say stuff like that. No, I get what you're saying. But I'm still a little old school in the sense that if you have good chemistry going with the young players, I don't know how much I'm willing to upset that apple cart. I think it's important that when you start to build like that and when you start bringing in free agents, that they jive well with the young players that you already have. Because they can, one of two things can happen. They could be a blessing mm-hmm. or a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen when guys come in and they fit right in lockstep with what you want to do. And not only that, they come in and they enhance what you've already tried to build. Or they come in and they start doing things their own way, and they start throwing a monkey wrench in things that you've already built and start being a bad influence on some of the young players.
I agree with you. I mean, I think you still have some leaders on this team that guys like Freddie Freeman, especially when you talk about a Freddie Freeman, that he wanted a guy like Bryce Harper. Now the question becomes, where does Bryce Harper end up? I think he's going to Philadelphia. I think at the end of the day, and let me tell you.
You think his agent's just trying to drive up the price?
Yeah. I will tell you.
Wasn't the team I heard was San Francisco? Somebody. Oh, I heard a few other teams.
Giants, Dodgers.
The Dodgers, that's who it was, the Dodgers. Yeah. He met with the Dodgers. He met with, and they had a good conversation.
I will tell you, I will be angry as a Braves fan if he ends up in Philadelphia and they found a way to get Bryce Harper and Realmuto. Because let me tell you what Philadelphia, okay? You know that city, right?
Yes.
Okay. Any Flyers games, Sixers games, Eagles games, who's always there? What guy that's a professional athlete do you see nonstop at every Philadelphia sporting event? I'll give you a hint. He wears number 27 and he lives out in California.
Bryce?
No.
Who?
He lives out in California. Plays for the Anaheim Angels out there.
You're not
he's a Philadelphia
you're talking
native.
About, what, Trout?
Mike Trout.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Why
didn't you just say that, Daryl? I mean, hear you?
We're trying to.
This ain't quiz hour.
We were trying to make you think a little bit.
No,
get your brain
going. I know. I had to remember. Thank you very much.
They will be all in, whether they got to trade prospects or dump the bucket fulls of money. They're going to do everything to bring him in there. Imagine if they have Realmuto, Harper, and Trout?
I don't think Bryce Harper would survive in Philadelphia, especially if he has a bad game. They'll kill
him. Maybe not.
Philly.
But if he knows Mike Trout's coming, and they're a very good franchise, Nola and those guys, they got a lot going on. I'd be disappointed as a Braves fan if both those guys end up there. All right, when we get back, Thomas Dimitroff, Dan Quinn, they all had a chance to speak to the media at the NFL Combine yesterday. We'll talk about that, and we'll get our poll question, seeing how you're feeling about it. It's John and Hugh, except it's Chuckery, not Fricky, all next Sports Radio 92 in the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.